Good morning and welcome to episode 47 of Coffee with the Coder. We're delighted that you have joined in with us today. We've got an amazing call lined up, and I've got my expert, Heather Bryans, with me. Hi, Heather.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Let's just jump right on in. This very first question is from an inpatient rehab, and a PPS coordinator sent us. They didn't want to use their name, so... they're asking if we agree or if the experts agree with CMS on the scenario below. It sounds like there might be just a little confusion here. It says, first of all, we discharge the patient to home. And the only way we would know if they were readmitted to a hospital is if they were readmitted to one of our hospitals. But either way, we're going to get hit with a readmission. But coding our discharge as discharge to hospital doesn't make sense to me. So then she outlines it a little bit more. The patient was recently discharged from our facility. They went home at approximately 1300. So that's 1 o'clock for those of us who don't speak that kind of time. At 1800, so that would be 6 p.m., the patient called EMS and was transported to a local hospital. He was ultimately admitted to the hospital for another 6 days with a UTI sepsis. So two things, for the ERFPI and the ULB04, should the discharge disposition be home or acute hospital, since we do have the knowledge that he was readmitted before he spent a night at home? If the disposition should reflect the admission to the hospital, I agree with the issue that the patient should not have been discharged with an infection. My concern is, how would a PPS coordinator or even a coder know that the patient was readmitted to an outside hospital if they're going to correctly code the ERFPI or the UB? Oh, and CMS said it should be short-term acute hospital for that scenario.
Right. Okay, so from what the figures that we've seen in our research, we've seen that about 76% of readmissions were considered potentially avoidable. So most hospitals have systems in place to verify discharge locations within a certain amount of time after the discharge. And the readmission penalty for readmissions happens in 30 days.
So it's not just one day, 30 days.
No, 30 days.
And so we would agree with CMS on that position?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Well, thank you for that question, and Heather, for clarifying all of that. And now let's go to another inpatient rehab with a different scenario. So this one is senile cerebellar degeneration of the brain. And the person says, isn't this akin to dementia? The patient presents almost dementia-like with cognitive problems, fear of falling, general weakness from a pulmonary issue. They try to relate it to syphilis, but we found documentation that rules that out. Would you code this as a non-traumatic brain or a debilitation or an other neuro?
Okay, this one's sort of a complicated situation. Our ICD-10 code would be G31.1, and then the IGC, of course, is going to be based on what the deficits are that the patient has and then what the focus of care is. It could go to debility, non-traumatic, brain, or neuro. And it sounds like, from what you're describing, that the general weakness is the greater issue here, with the cerebellar degeneration as a comorbidity. So what you have to ask is, was the primary focus of care the weakness? And what was the pulmonary condition that caused that weakness? Because you could have another option here for an IGC. Is it a condition that fits the pulmonary IGC, or would it be more appropriate as debility? So, for example, you could have a patient with pneumonia that caused debility. In that case, you would put them in the debility IGC. But if that debility was caused by COPD or by another chronic pulmonary condition, then the patient could go to pulmonary. There's a lot to think about here. You really need more. If you have more information that you can submit, we'd love to continue the discussion, because it could go a lot of different ways. There's a lot of options for IGCs just based on, like I said, what the deficits are and what the focus of care is.
Yes, and of course the primary focus of care is your driving factor for that, right?
That's right. Your primary focus of care is going to drive you to what your IGC is, because the IGC is describing, painting a picture of the severity of illness of the patient and what the focus of care is while they're in rehab.
Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes they seem like simple questions, but they're really not.
Not so much.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this one is not anonymous. Michelle, you're in the running today. This question is from Michelle. And she says, is there a time frame that cancer is considered active when a patient is treated with radiation seeds? Is observation or surveillance considered a treatment when the tumor has not been removed and they're not able to tolerate treatment due to existing health status?
Okay. So the time frame for reporting active cancer is as long as the patient is receiving treatment for that cancer. So observation would not mean treatment is continuing. If the patient had cancer and their healthcare status did not allow treatment for it, it could possibly still exist, potentially. So what I would do in this case, since it's sort of cloudy, is I would query the physician on this one so that they could give you more information so you could make a better determination.
So pretty much the physician would know.
Yeah, they should.
Is this little hiatus in treatment still a part of the, we got to wait till so-and-so to treat?
Right.
Thank you, thank you. And I think we have time for one more, right?
Okay. We should, yeah.
Oh, okay. So this is another anonymous question. The person says, somewhere I read that multiple rib fractures really count as only one fracture. And I think in my mind, it has morphed to apply to vertebral fractures as well. Have you ever heard that? And also, would you code multiple vertebral fractures as multiple fractures?
Okay. So fractures are something that really kind of caused some trouble for a whole lot of people out there in the coding world. In this case, so the definition to qualify for 60% is multiple fracture codes. For multiple fractures is fractures of bilateral lower extremity, so your bilateral legs, more or less. Or you could have a lower fracture plus an upper fracture, or lower plus ribs and sternum. So to get to that multiple fractures would have to be involved. You could use multiple fractures for ribs or vertebrae, but it wouldn't qualify for 60% compliance. And depending on whether pain or function is the primary problem, multiple vertebral fractures might better fit into the IGC for back pain. So you keep in mind, typically, there will be more than one EDO with 8.4, which is our multiple fracture IGC. And multiple fractures without weight-bearing bones might fit better, but they might not meet that 60% compliance rule.
So there was a whole lot more to that question.
Yes,
I do. I've heard lots of fracture questions, so they are quite a bit of confusion about those. And so thank you for explaining that one really well. And I don't think I have enough time to put in any more, so I'm going to stop. But I'm going to say, guess what? Our winner is Michelle. I don't even have to draw. She's the only one who was brave enough to put her name. Yay, Michelle.
Yay.
So, no, I'm not making fun of anybody who chose to be anonymous. I do know with the nature of what we all do that sometimes it's best to be anonymous, and you just want to get your answer. And so we support all of that. I just was making fun because of having Michelle in here and giving her the mug. Today's mugging winner is Michelle from wherever you are, and I will reach out to you and get an address so that we can get this in the mail to you. Thank you, everyone, for attending episode 47 today. There's a webinar tomorrow about get on your revenue cycle and let's roll. We've got EarthPro Labs coming up December 1st and 2nd in Detroit. We've got the Revenue Warriors group is opening again really soon. And did I miss something?
I think you hit it all.
I got it all. Yay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Now, the next episode will be in 2 weeks on October the 8th. Wow, can you believe it's October? Time for pumpkin spice.